Hi guys, good evening. Welcome to another Thursday with Vintage and Vintage Heart. How you doing? How's your week been? This is the second week of December. We have exactly 21 days till 2020 becomes a thing of the past. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, many people are looking forward to it. We can barely wait. I mean, the only reason why people haven't started to hype it that much is because, you know, there's still Christmas to look forward to, and then crossover nights where, you know, there's a lot of thinking and reflection to do. So well, there's still something to look forward to, but I mean, we're almost there. You can start to plan 2021 already, because I'm telling you, this 21 days are going to pass by so fast. I certainly hope so. All right, well, today, continuing with our series, A Typical Day in Niger, I am going to be taking up something that I actually mentioned in my previous episode. Remember, guys, I tell you, if you haven't listened to any of my episode at all, and this happens to be your first one, please try to listen to at least one, maybe the one right before this one or something, but just try and listen to something to catch up and, you know, have an idea of what I'm talking about. All right, so this is the second series that we are running on Vintage Heart, and it's your girl Vintage, and I'm trying to tell you how it is, how I see it, how I know it as in Nigerian and living in Nigeria. So I'm going to be picking up a topic, like I said, I mentioned in my previous episode, which is tribalism. So our topic for today is going to be A Typical Day in Niger, tribalism. Now, I had to do a lot of research on this one because it's quite a tricky topic. Yeah, if I didn't do research, I might just have come here and say nonsense. So I had to Google some definitions and then ask some people about it so I know what exactly I'm handling. Okay, so I can say to an extent, I am prepared to serve you guys some really good stuff. All right, so we'll get right into it. We're going right into it right now. Okay, so why was this a tricky topic for me? Well, when I was considering talking about it, I had in my hand picking between tribalism and racism. Now, tribalism hits more at home, right? It hits deeper, it hits closer. When you're talking about tribalism, you know, you're looking at Igbo, Yoruba, and Hausa. This is what we see every day, what we see on the street, we see in the bus, at the workplace, you know, just name it, is what we see more frequently. Now, racism is a national issue, is worldwide, you know, is something that has been, you know, very much existing, like, for the longest time. And it's more of an international problem. You know, you cannot exactly say that racism and tribalism are the same, but they are very, very similar. You know, it comes across as, you know, social injustice, hate for one particular group of people, or a belief of supremacy over them. You know, I didn't want to choose racism over tribalism because, you know, it's a way bigger issue, and we just know, I don't know, we just know it's wrong, and we just know how much racism has actually caused, how much hurt it has caused, how much problems, and we see on the news, you know, it has much more volume right now. On the internet, on social media, you can see it. Things are being said and things are being done. Now, at home, you know, we're battling with racism internationally, but there seems to be this ignorance for what is actually, you know, also very prominent at home here. And many people are just ignoring it and leaving it. And to an extent, it's become like tradition that there's this segregation between groups, you know, like I just mentioned, the Hausa, the Igbo, and the Yoruba. These are the three major ethnic groups in Nigeria. Now, these three, I can tell you, are the most tribalistic groups you can find. They are, I mean, if I'm not exaggerating, there are more than other 50 ethnic groups in Nigeria. But these three that I just mentioned, you keep hearing the name everywhere. Now, the thing that I want to bring out from tribalism is that, you know, according to Google definition, it doesn't exactly say that the tribe feels superior to the other. No, it just feels like the tribe doesn't want to have anything to do with the other one. Now, there's just this demarcation, like, we don't like you. Stay on your own, we stay on our own. You know, that's just the idea of tribalism. Now, racism is different. Like I said, one race believes that it's superior to the other because of what, you know, it has or what it looks like or something like that. Now, tribalism is totally different. I feel like tribalism is actually, is like more of a serious thing that we're making it. On the bus, on the road, on the streets in Lagos, it has become such a normal thing that, you know, you talk about the Igbos in a certain way, and then you talk about the Yorubans in a certain way, and then you talk about the Hausas in a certain way, and we don't see anything wrong with that. And that is what we have been seeing day after day after day. And I just hope that on this episode, I can find a way to paint it the way I see it and somehow bring out a lesson somehow, because that is the point of this. I don't want to just talk and talk and talk, but I just want to call attention, you know, and call back consciousness to this very, very wrong act that we have somehow turned to a norm for us. All right, guys, so I wanted to tell you a quick story and just to like help you see just how serious this tribalism of a thing is. So it's a very, very quick story. So one day I was in a bus. I can't remember what day it was or, you know, the surrounding circumstances, but I remember that I was going to school. Yeah, I was going to school. So I was in the bus and I was waiting for it to fill up. I was very late. Yeah, I remember that too. I was like so late, like very late. I think almost an hour late for lectures. So I was waiting for this bus to fill up. It was the last bus I had to take before I get to class. So I was sitting and I think it was just two more seats. Yeah, just two more seats for the bus to get filled up. So we're like, driver, move now. You find passengers on the road. They never actually agreed to that. It was like, no, he must fill up the bus before he moves from this place. So we complained and complained and eventually we just kept quiet. So after some time, this woman, clearly an Igbo woman, you know, walking with her about 3 or 4 year old boy, they were walking towards the bus. So she asks the driver where he's going to. And I think, you know, he tells her it's where she's headed. So she's approaching the bus and then she looks inside and the man or the guy sitting right next to where she was going to sit, the empty seat, was an Hausa guy. So he was wearing this, I can't remember what it's called now. This, the gown of a thing. A kaftan. Yes, I think it's a kaftan that it's called. Yeah. So I guess the color is white, but you know, it was looking nothing close to white. Anyways, the woman is looking at him, you know, up, down. He's like obviously sizing him up, up, down, up again, down again. And you know, Java is like, what's the problem? And it's like, she's not going. And he was like, madam, just enter bus now, let's go. What's the problem? We knew what the problem, everyone knew what the problem was. I mean, we were looking at her sizing him up and we knew what was going through her mind, you know. And, you know, we're like just trying to convince her to get into the bus. Like, no, she's not entering. She doesn't want to go. So this woman actually, she didn't enter. So she sat by the side. Sorry, she stood by the side. And, you know, she was waiting for the next bus. Now, we had to wait for another 7 to 10 minutes before another person came. And then it was a guy this time just sat down. And then the bus was filled up and we started to move. Now, I don't think I made it in time for that lecture. So it was pointless. I had to, you know, I had to just forget that one because I was so late. Now, what am I trying to, you know, bring out from this story is that when we were asking this woman what the problem is, right, we knew. That's just how much of I don't know how much of a norm it has become to just that demarcation, that segregation, that line that, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You know, it's borderline, like, feeling like you're superior to them. Yes, I know the Google definition says it's just the organization of tribes into groups, right? Something like that. It doesn't use that word supremacy. It doesn't use that word that any tribe is feeling superior to the other. It's just the need to be different and separate for them. That's what it was trying to emphasize. But the way it's being displayed, the way it's actually happening, you see that we feel like we are too good to associate ourselves with, you know, this other tribe, this other people. And I mean, if that is not feeling superior to them, I don't know what is. Which is why I feel like it's just a serious issue as racism. Because even as we are battling racism on the international level, this is something killing us here. Okay, I mean, I know so many people that have been deprived of opportunities because, you know, they weren't from the particular states they were applying to. Or I mean, look at the JAM process now. If you're a Nigerian, I'm certain that you know even more examples of, you know, expressions of tribalism where there is a merit mark, merit cutoff mark for people in particular states. right? And you see this in so many people for job employment. You know, it's basically everywhere where you're doing my person, my state, and then you're favoring them over other persons, and it's not even based on their credentials, just because they're from your state. And this is actually, it's limiting so many people, it's limiting potentials, and it's as deadly as ever. And we're just not, I don't know, it feels like we're not ready to actually just open our eyes to that. You see, the Igbo man is associated with being money crazy. The Yoruba man is party crazy. And the Hausa man is cattle crazy. Everyone has this picture that the society believes that, you know, they have to somehow just fit into to live or to just be, you know. And so many people aren't fitting into that. I mean, it's the 21st century, it's 2020, for God's sake. Each and every day, people are breaking free from that mental constraint, from that societal constraint, and we're doing things differently. We are not what we used to be. I mean, the Igbo person and the Yoruba person and the Hausa person can just be the same. You know, they can actually be of the same character. They can exhibit the same character. They can think alike. And, you know, there's room for us to equally express ourselves. But there's this, you know, this stereotype that is still living in the society that is, its root is so deep inside of us that I don't even know how we are going to come back from that. And sure, it's not like it's all... is all false, because I mean, for every rumor there's some atom of truth in it. So from the start, yes, the Igbo man is always after money, the Yoruba man likes parties, you know, the Hausa people, they are into animal rearing and stuff. It's fact, right? But now you are just making it seem like every single one of them is, and this is just, you know, the minimum level of what I'm actually talking about here. It goes, I mean, it spreads across to so many areas, like I mentioned. Your job, you're seeking for job and stuff like that, your admission, you're seeking for admission, and there's just so much limitations. And even on, you know, on the streets, as you're living and you're going by your daily activities, there's still so much societal constraints just hanging over your head, you know, because you have tribal marks. People can just conclude that she's Yoruba and she just, you know, she has to be a party crazy person, you know, he has to be a Yoruba demon, she has to be very, very, I don't know, money crazy because she's Igbo, or, you know, she has to be very, very dirty because she's Hausa, or, you know, it just, she has to be naive because she's Hausa. There's so many of these labelings, you know, and it's getting frustrating because there's so many people that are just being limited, their potentials are being limited. So many people are even being traumatized because they just have to fit into this picture that the society has created for them, and there's no room for them to express differently. Do you get me? And so, what is there to do? I guess that what I'm trying to say is that, you know, what a person does, or what a person is known for, or what a state is known for, does not define them. Okay, for the fact that I party doesn't mean that I cannot be helpful in another, you know, aspect, or I cannot just do any other thing aside from partying. And it doesn't mean that the party actually defines every single area of my life. I guess that's what I'm just trying to say. You know, that perspective that you have of a person shouldn't, you know, just generally be what you dwell on at every point when you're interacting with them. It shouldn't be the first thing that pops into your head when you're conversing with them. It shouldn't be the first thing that pops into your head when you're talking about them or when you're referring to them. You know, what I'm just trying to say is that we should learn to grow, or to just keep an open mind, to know that people can be multidimensional. They can be, you know, a rainbow of some sorts. You know, they can be a collection or a package of so many and so many things. You know, we should stop limiting people to what they say of them, or what we know of them, or what we've seen them do, you know? I guess is, you know, it all boils down to what you actually think. You know, it's how you think that you express at the end of the day. So I think we need to start thinking better of people, regardless of their tribe, you know, their background, or whatever. Really, whatever is that that basis of separation, whatever it is that is the ground for separation, for segregation, for tribalism, whatever it is that influences that need for you to be separate from this person because she's Igbo, because she's Hausa, or because he's Hausa, because of, you know, whatever, really, whatever is that thought that makes you want to not interact with them, you need to start, you know, to just, I don't know, be more open about that, you know, to just be more open to, you know, to actually believe that there can be a change, that there could be more to that person than what you are thinking about, than what you have seen or what you've heard or what you know. I guess that can really go a long way to just help people be more accommodating. Because, you know, when I think that all Hausa people are dirty, or when I think that all Hausa people are illiterate, it doesn't just affect the way I actually interact with Hausa people alone. No, it goes across to how I interact with Yoruba and Igbo and every other person, because I would just be pushing that tribe down. Even when I'm conversing with every other person, I'm influencing their mind to think like I am thinking. And you know, our minds are open fields, and it just, when you drop a seed, it sucks it up, and you know, springing for plants and trees, you get me? So when you're dropping those seeds of she's bad at this, or she has done this, or she's probably doing this, you know, and people are just, you know, they're grasping onto your words, and you know, it's influencing the way they think as well, and you're just spreading that mentality, you're just spreading that image, and people are, you know, they're picturizing it in their heads, and that mentality keeps growing and spreading. You get, so it doesn't really just, it's not a one-way thing. It goes way, way further than just what you say about this person. At this point, you know, you could just say it in the bus, oh, because she's out, she's probably dirty, in a conversation or something, and you say it and you drop it there, but it has gone further, you know, so much further than that bus that, you know, you said it in. And I mean, I don't even want to go into the aspect of the emotional, you know, trauma that is causing for people. You know, many people are still recovering, you know, are still trying to break free from, you know, what their people are known for. I'm telling you, it might not seem so clear right now. It might not be as vivid as I am, you know, trying to paint it where you are or from the point that you're viewing it. But tribalism is something that is weighing a lot of persons down. From your state, I mean, there are some states that have been painted such bad images that they cannot even associate with other persons. I mean, I can start to mention some states that are just known for this and known for that. And when you mention that, oh, I'm from this place, people are like, oh, you know. So I feel like there's need for us to be more open-minded, to drop what we've heard, what we've seen, what we think that we've always known, and just be more open to actually see how a person expresses themselves before you tag them, if at all there's need to tag them as this or as that. Well, guys, I hope that we were able to pick something out of all of that. I believe that I've said so much, and you know, there's actually a lot to be learned. So just, you know, take your time, ponder over it, and you just see the meaning behind each and every of those words. You know, I hope that you understand that as individuals, we need to work on ourselves. We need to work on our minds. We need to work on our tongues. We need to work, you know, generally on our perspective and our mentality, how we perceive people, and just everything that surrounds us, right? It's going to go a long way to influence your character as a person, your personality, and, you know, just how you express yourself. At the end of the day, each and every one of us, you know, we need to work on ourselves to just, it will at the end of the day make us better people. You know, it will make Nigeria a better place, it will make Africa a better place, and it starts with you to start to want to do better, to start to, you know, just aspire to be better than what we are today. I guess, you know, there's no better time to start than now. So put in more effort keep an open mind and just try to be more accommodating. Each and every one of us, we need as much love as we can get. And now you can start by just lending out a hand and being watchful what you say, how you express yourself, even, you know, if, I don't know, if there's need to express yourself, I don't know, doesn't just matter the circumstances, just be kind and, you know, just be kind. That's all I've got to say. Just be kind. I hope that you have honestly learned something. And, well, that's all I've got. Honestly, that's all I've got. I've been talking for way too long and I enjoyed myself as always. So I'm going to stop here for today. I'm dropping the mic here for today. And I certainly look forward to seeing you, hearing from you, or having you here. I told you I haven't quite figured out that part, how to say that thing. It's still tricky. Point is, I'm going to be here again next week. Same time, same place, same person. All over again, talking about something different. I hope to God that I have it figured out before time. Okay, so it's gonna be bye for now. Take care of yourself, be good, feel good. It's almost the end of 2020, so take out the time to treat yourself to something. If it's a drink or ice cream, whatever it is, I mean, you deserve it. Anyone that is actually crossing over to 2021's got to pat themselves at the back. We have been through a lot, okay? So just be kinder to people, be kinder to yourself, and you know, always be open to learning and accommodating. All right, till next week, stay good, stay safe, and spread some love. All right, I'll see you guys later. Bye for now.